You're listening to Wake Up with Patty Catter, where we're overcoming trials with triumphs. Now, here's your host, Patty Catter.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining me again this week. Last week, we had Tom Satterley on the show, and this week, we have Jen, his wife. So I'm very excited to talk to Jen because we all heard Tom's version of kind of how they met and what they're doing with their nonprofit. And Jen, it's your turn to tell your side of the story. So I'd like you just to go ahead and introduce yourself to my listeners.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. I'm Jen Satterley. I am the co-founder and CEO of All Secure Foundation. All Secure Foundation serves special operation warfighters, both active duty and veterans, and their family members in healing both from complex PTS and secondary PTS. And so, yeah, that's what we do based right here in St. Louis, Missouri.
Mm-hmm. All right. So those of you who might not have heard Tom's show last week, he was talking a little bit about how he was in the military and some of the things that he did while he was in the military. And if you haven't listened, definitely I urge you to go back and do that. But Jen, it sounds like you were meeting Tom at a very different time in his life. He said that he felt a little insecure. He says, you know, he's overweight, all this stuff. What's your version? I mean, when you looked at him, I'm sure you didn't say, like, look at that hunk-a-chunky man over there, right? So what did you see in him? And tell us.
You know, it's quite funny because I didn't know what the unit was, the elite unit that he came from. So I really had no point of reference. I think in the, you know, the amount of years that he had spent out at Fort Bragg, now Fort Liberty, he was there almost 30 years. And so he was definitely in his bubble. And I was in commercial film and photography, and I was in my bubble. So very, very different worlds. I mean, if from the art world to the military world, you couldn't have found probably two more different type of people. So we were very different. And maybe that's the part that attracted me to him was I was an anthropology major, so super interested always in learning more about different cultures and subcultures. And I knew very little, if anything, about special operations when I met him. So there was a level of fascination, curiosity. He was overweight. He was a heavy drinker at that time. He was suffering from severe complex PTS, although the Army gave him the checkbox that he didn't have it. So he was really, really struggling and couldn't figure out why. And so he thought that the life that he was living was his life sentence at that time. And he wasn't quite happy with that sentence. So he was doing everything he could really to try to gain control of his life again, which felt very out of control to him. So I always joke that my PTS was attracted to his PTS. And frankly, it was like two freight trains going a million miles an hour headed right towards each other.
Mm-hmm. So what was your story before you met Tom? Where did you come from? You talk a little bit about your PTS. What was that from, if you don't mind me asking?
Sure. I had childhood complex PTS from an abusive parent. And so, you know, and that was untreated as well. Back in the 80s and 90s, there wasn't really talk about PTS. And quite honestly, my mom, who was suffering with her own mental issues and mental health struggles, quite frankly, didn't believe, quote unquote, in mental health struggles. So I was kind of left out there alone. At least I felt like I was with an abusive parent and no outlet for healing or no even conversation about it. So I went into the same or similar type of reckless behavior that Tom was exhibiting. We just had our trauma from different areas. And so that's a bit of the past trauma that was still plaguing me in my mid-30s. Mm-hmm.
So when you first laid eyes on him, what did you think?
Not much. you know, it's really funny. We laugh about it now, but, you know, like I'm walking down the hallway and one of the guys from Tom's former unit was like, have you heard of the unit? And I'm like, no. You know, do you know anything about it? No. He's like, well, you've seen Black Hawk Down, right? And yes, I'd seen Black Hawk Down. And so I said, yeah, but like 15 years ago, it's been a long time. He said, this is one of the guys that was portrayed in Black Hawk Down. So what does my mind go to? My mind goes to Eric Bana, to, you know, all of the good looking superstars in that movie. And so as I'm walking down the hallway, I'm like, ooh, I'm going to go meet one of these guys. And I open the door. He's 65 pounds overweight. He's kind of ruddy with, you know, just he was problem drinking at that time. I thought he was an alcoholic, but actually he was told that it was problem drinking, which we know now, to self-medicate, frankly. So he was ruddy. He was red. He was overweight. He had a big belly. And I walked in the room and I'm like, oh, this is not the Eric Bana version of an operator. This is, oh, and oh yeah, that was 93. So he wouldn't be 30. He's closer to 48. So I wasn't impressed. I don't know that he was really impressed by me either. So it was not this, you know, Hollywood beginning by any means.
Mm-hmm. What was your, I didn't ask him any of these questions. What was your first date like? I mean, was it a date or did you actually just go out as friends and you're just kind of getting to know each other? Or?
That's exactly it. We started working together really. And through working together, we got to know each other. I don't know that we even had a first date because it evolved from friendship into a relationship kind of over the time that we were working together. So we had spent a ton of time together already by the time we had gone out, I guess, just the two of us.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. That's super interesting. Not very many people know this, but when I met my husband, it was kind of the same thing. Like he had just got out of this recon thing. I had no idea what it was. I was kind of clueless. And I mean, he wasn't overweight. He was literally just getting out of the Marines, but still it wasn't like I thought it was going to be when I heard like recon and I did research. I'm like, you know, you think of, you know, these just movie stars, right?
And
you know, some of my civilian listeners, especially you guys, listen to this because we look at these movies and we take them as real life. And a lot of these military families, you know, you expect them to be picture perfect, but the reality is there's a lot that goes behind closed doors that you don't see that are really difficult times sometimes, because what you see in the movies looks like it's glorified fighting and things like that. But in reality, they're real people losing real friends in war. So Jen, when you started to get to know Tom and you realized that, hey, he, you know, he has these anger issues, because he said one of the problems that he still deals with a little bit today is his anger goes from like 0 to 7 very quickly. Sometimes he's gotten it a lot under control. But what were your thoughts? Were you thinking like, oh my gosh, what did I get into? I'm going to take off. Or it sounds like you kind of did sort of that, but then also sort of opposite.
Yes, all of that. I recently did an interview and she asked me, did you feel trapped? And it was the first time someone had asked me that. We've been together for 10 years. And it was a really difficult question to answer. But the answer was yes. There were times in the past that I absolutely felt trapped in our relationship. The anger, the violence, the constant criticism, the hypervigilance. And then to couple that with, I knew he had suicide attempts. We had talked about it. And at that time, you know, he would say, you're the one that saved me, which created a ton of fear, a lot of fear in me of if I were to leave, I know he won't be here the next day, maybe the next minute. And so there was this tremendous weight that I couldn't stay, but I couldn't leave. And that went on for years. And I don't think most people ever see that side. In fact, there's a very popular TV show. And the thing that really kind of irked me about it was the family scene. You know, here's a Navy SEAL who loses his entire team in a very, very, very traumatic, awful way. And then he comes home and he's totally fine with his wife and children. And there's no issues at home. And the scary thing about that to me is that's loading a gun for someone else. Because what they're seeing is, wait a minute, this SEAL who just lost his entire team and went through something really traumatic, he's coming home okay. He doesn't yell at his wife and kids. He isn't isolating and hanging out in the bedroom or the garage or the backyard. No, he's just fine. And so that's very rare that that's the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good point. What about this? I don't know that I've actually voiced this on a show yet, and I've been recording for a long time. One of the things that I personally went through was, you know, Ken, my husband, he's a war hero. He's an American patriot. How could you even think about leaving? Yeah. I'm sure that those thoughts must cross your head and every spouse listening, right? That's yes. been through anything like this.
100%. There's this complexity that I think isolates us as spouses, because when it's good with my husband, it's the best I've ever had. I mean, truly, we are each other's best friends, soulmates, spiritual partners, everything. And it is tremendous. It is amazing. When it's bad, it's also really, really bad. And so I have this pendulum relationship where it's either really, really great or really, really bad. And that swing can happen 4 or 5 times a day. I remember a civilian friend of mine said, oh, you know when to leave your husband when you have more bad days than good. And that's outweighing. And I sat there and I thought, days, I don't get days. I get good moments and bad moments. And that will happen throughout my entire day. So, you know, during that time when he was not healing, when he wasn't putting in the work, I absolutely felt completely overwhelmed, underwater, drowning, isolated. I couldn't talk to my family because I knew they would say, you should leave him. I didn't want to talk to civilian friends. I thought they would say, you should leave him, because I knew they wouldn't understand the complexities of what he had been through, the amount of grief he was suffering, loss, pain, and not to mention that traumatic brain injury. So this injury, physical injury in his brain, also causes suicidal ideation. It also causes anger and rage. So there's a physical side of it, an emotional side of it, and a spiritual side of it. How do you explain that to someone in a phone call? Yeah, I know he did this, but he did this because X, Y, and Z. And so that compassion and understanding that spouses often have can lead to isolation, frustration. And people will often ask me, why did you stay with Tom? And I will tell you 100% because of his willingness, period. Willingness is that every time we had something bad happen, he fessed up to it. Immediately he took responsibility for it. And then he said, what's the next way forward? How do I deal with this anger or this rage or this hypervigilance? How do I make it go away? So I knew that he wanted to be a different man. I knew he didn't like the place that he was in, and I knew he was willing to put the work in. And that's where I hear the greatest disconnect with spouses is either the willingness or unwillingness. Is he willing to get the therapy and the help that he needs, or is he in a place where he's going to shove it under the rug and pretend like it doesn't exist? That creates two very different types of relationships, frankly.
Mm-hmm. It does take a lot to admit. Also. So I give him a lot of credit for admitting, because honestly, when I asked him what's one of your trials that you've had or, you know, went through, are you still going through it? And his response was the anger. And not many people will get on a show and say, listen, hey, I have anger outbursts. And he said, it's not as bad as it used to be, but I still do it. I mean, not many people will do that. And he also talked about how in his book, he writes about all the things that he screwed up on. And I thought that was really an interesting approach and a really great approach. What about you? You have a book out. What is it about?
Arsenal of Hope really was a continuation of Tom's book, All Secure. So Tom had about 60,000 pages deleted from his book per the editor's request. So it was like 160,000. And they're like, nope, it needs to be 100,000. So kind of essentially the back end of the book, which it talked about the foundation, how he healed, tools for healing, the publisher didn't want that part. So that was really frustrating to me. I'm kind of more of a self-help reader. Like my shelf downstairs looks like the Barnes and Noble self-help section. So I was frustrated because, you know, so many times people will tell you their story and you read it and you're like, this is really inspirational. I want to make a change too, but it doesn't tell you how to get started or the baby step you need to take or some things that you can get done in the moment, or even just that feeling of I'm not alone in this, which I think his book does beautifully, is really illustrate. I'm not alone in this. I'm not the only one going through this. what I wanted to write Arsenal of Hope is a self-help manual. So versus it being my memoir or something along those lines, it's a collection of not only my story with Tom, but all the war fighters that I had been talking to in the last, 4 years that we had the foundation. So our story, other stories, and then some tools and tips right in that book to get you started to acknowledging the PTS or the trauma that you have and steps that you can take immediately to start healing from it.
That's phenomenal. That's really, really needed too. One of the problems that I know about working in the military veteran community space, and especially with nonprofits through the years, is that it's always hard to find a hub for resources because there's so many out there and there's so much thrown at you and there's some great, amazing nonprofits. And then you have nonprofits that just basically, you know, they look like they're great on the outside and they're letting all these vets slip through the cracks. Yeah. Tom was saying that you have this foundation and you help give out resources and things like that. So those of you who have not heard the show, Jen, I want you to share the social media and the website information for your organization, please.
Perfect. Thank you. Resources are critical. And just to let people know, there are so many, there's 45,000 veteran organizations. And I get that all of them aren't great, but that's why myself and Tom and other organizations start vetting other nonprofits. And we're actually partnered with military MSOFC, so MSOFC.org. And they have a very comprehensive resource directory that has been third-party verified. So actually, when you go to allsecurefoundation.org, we're going to point you to them because they spent 3 years on this directory and it's very comprehensive. But we share information every single day, tips, tricks, tools, articles. So if you go to allsecurefoundation.org, we also have all of our social media links there, but you can find us on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook is All Secure Foundation.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. One of the questions that I ask my guests is, what's one trial you've been through in your life and how have you overcome that trial with triumph, or are you still working on it?
Ooh, I'm a serial people pleaser. And I think that's a big part of not having my trauma treated and going through it for a very long time. I think women are also naturally raised to be people pleasers, but when you have trauma on top of it, I had very, very difficult time with boundaries, saying no, and really got to a bad place of burnout. And so I learned to put my oxygen mask on first, starting those difficult conversations of saying no and understanding that no is a complete sentence. Mm-hmm. I don't need an explanation or a reason to go with it. And that has taken me a very long time. And I'm sure it's something I will continue to work on.
We are the same spirit.
I bet.
It's something I'm working on daily, every day. So Jen, thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate you. I appreciate Tom so much. And I just know that your shows are going to help people who are listening. I can't stress to you enough the importance of what you're doing. And I'm sure you do not get thanked enough for what you are doing either. I know running nonprofits and working within the community, you just have a hard time turning it off. So you're at it 24/7 and what you're doing does not go unnoticed. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. And everybody, thank you so much for listening. And Jen, could you go ahead and share your social media one more time?
Sure. All Secure Foundation across all platforms.
Excellent. If you are watching, you will see it on the screen. If you are listening and you did not have a chance to write it down or you're driving, you can go back into the show notes and the links will be there. They'll also be on my social media and on my website. So thank you everybody for tuning in. And Jen, thank you so much for your time, your dedication, and all of the things that you're doing.
Thank you so much. You too.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Please head over to pattycatter.com for the latest updates on Patty, her talk show, and what she's up to. You can also find her on Amazon TV and Roku, and on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Patty Catter. Until next time.